ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय গৌরি কৃষ্ণ বাজি মোরে করিয়া আশীর্বাদে নীলাচ্ছলে আসিগে না তোমরা প্রসাদে গৌরি কৃষ্ণ ভাজি মোরে করিয়া আশীর্বাদে নীলাচ্ছলে আসে ইয়ে না তোমরা প্রসাদে
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Bhattacharya to bless him while he engaged in the devotional service of Lord Krishna at home, so that by Sarvabhauma's mercy, the Lord could return to Jagannath Puri. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word koriha ashirvade means continue to bestow your blessings upon me. Being a sannyasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the fourth order of life and was thus due all respect and adoration. Whereas Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, as a householder, was in the second order. A sannyasi is supposed to offer blessings to a grihastha. Yet now, by his practical behavior, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested the blessings of a grihastha. Are you listening carefully? Especially brahmacharis. This incident shows the special significance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching. He gave equal status to everyone, regardless of material considerations. His movement is thoroughly spiritual. Although apparently a grihastha, householder, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was unlike the so-called karmis interested in sense gratification. After being initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya was perfectly situated in the spiritual order. Therefore, it was quite possible for him to offer blessings even to a sannyasi. He was always engaged in the service of the Lord, even at home. In our disciplic line, we have the example of a perfect householder paramhamsa, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In his book, Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, Ye dina grihe bhajana deki grihe te goloka bhai. Sharanagati 31:6. Whenever a householder glorifies the Supreme Lord in his home, his activities are immediately transformed into the activities of Goloka Vrindavan. Spiritual activities taking place in the Goloka Vrindavan planet of Krishna. Activities exhibited by Krishna himself at Bhoma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dham existing on this planet, are not different from his activities on the planet of Goloka Vrindavan.
This is proper realization of Vrindavan anywhere. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we inaugurated the new Vrindavan activities, wherein devotees are always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And this is not different from Goloka Vrindavan. The conclusion is that one who acts strictly in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is competent to offer blessings to sannyasis, even though he be a grihastha householder. Although he is in an exalted position, a sannyasi still must elevate himself to the transcendental platform by rendering service to the Lord. By his actual behavior, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged for the blessings of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In this way, he set the example of how one should expect blessings from a Vaishnav, regardless of his social position. I sincerely welcome all of our assembled devotees to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple on this divine holy day of Sri Gaur Purnima. The verse we're reading today perhaps it's not the typical verse to be chosen to speak on Gaur Purnima. But what is so special here, it reveals the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world. We were discussing yesterday that to achieve mystic powers usually takes many lifetimes of very rigorous, difficult tapasya or austerities. To achieve mukti or liberation, Shankaracharya, he taught, first take sannyas, then begin the process. As long as you're meddling with material things, you cannot really make progress. Give it all up. Come live with sannyasis in a holy place. Spend your whole day studying Vedanta, meditating, doing tapasya, or go into the mountains. And after several births, you may get liberation. Beyond that is prema bhakti, love of God, the awakening of the ecstatic emotions of the soul. And the highest stage of prema bhakti is to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, the most intimate, spontaneous, eternal joy of reciprocating with Krishna as a servant, a friend, a parent, or a lover. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because his mercy is so powerful, and because the name of God is endowed with all the opulences, the powers, and the grace of God, even a householder with a husband or a wife, children, parents, even living in Mumbai, can achieve in this one lifetime the love of the gopis. at Prayag, Rupa Goswami composed this verse. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Dveshe Namah. That Lord Chaitanya is most munificent. He is Krishna himself, full-fledged, who is extending greater mercy than Krishna. Because he's making the highest realizations of spiritual perfection accessible and available to everyone and anyone in this age of Kali. Just follow these regulative principles. Learn how to be a humble servant and chant the holy names in whatever situation you may be. We read in this beautiful narration that we've been discussing the last 2 days, Lord Chaitanya's spirit of compassion, what it really means to be a preacher or to share bhakti with others. Let us just take this verse and then we will examine more carefully other instances. Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi, the highest order of the Varnashram system, and he's a Brahmin. And he is begging for the blessings of a grihastha who's living with a wife, who has children. Not only that, Lord Chaitanya is the guru, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is his disciple. Just within a month before this incident, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya factually was a total Mayavadi speculator, the type of person that most Vaishnavas would not even look at. He had no sense of devotion or bhakti. His aspiration was to be God. Lord Chaitanya, what he went through to save Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he did. So here he is, the guru, asking his newly initiated disciple, begging for blessings. And beyond that, Lord Chaitanya is the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the absolute truth, the supreme Brahman. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is in the role of a jiva, a living entity, a little spark of the great sun of Krishna. And yet the Lord, from his heart, with folded palms, is begging for his blessings so that he will be able to come back to Jagannath Puri. When Lord Chaitanya wanted to make an important point, he made it so crystal clear. And one of the greatest contributions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is he always saw and taught us to see the spiritual platform. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavihastini suni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshana. The Bhagavad Gita tells, who is a learned person? It's not a matter of getting a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a PhD, even at IIT, or Harvard or Yale or Oxford. From the Bhagavad Gita's perspective, that has nothing to do with being learned. These things are helpful. Maybe. If you're actually learned. A learned person is one who sees every living being with equal vision. Whether they are a Brahmin or a chandala, a dog eater. Whether they are an elephant, a cow, or a dog. Why? Because being learned means to understand I am not this body. I am the eternal soul. Najayate mriyate vakadachit. I am eternal, undying, and full of bliss. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That I am a spark, a part of God, qualitatively one with God, quantitatively a very small part. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first teaching to Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. Because I'm a part of God, my constitutional eternal nature is I am the servant of the Lord, Krishna. And when we realize that within ourselves, then we have spiritual vision. And we spontaneously see every living being as a part of Krishna. We see that different pure souls who are my eternal brothers and sisters, who are worshipable parts of God, they are wearing all kinds of different dresses, both mentally and physically. But in essence, everyone is part of God. This consciousness means to be a servant of God means to be the servant of every living being. And we serve according to time, place, circumstance, and the particular person, kaladesha patra, according to how we can best benefit a person. If we see every living being as a part of Krishna, it's impossible to become artificially proud due to the false ego. The false ego, or false pride, thinking myself better than anyone else, is simply the product of gross ignorance. That's all. And we should identify it like that. We should analyze ourselves. As soon as I start comparing and thinking I'm better than anyone, the alarm should go off. This means I am in a very sick, disgusting state of gross ignorance. Do we analyze it that way? That is the fact. If we're seeing as a learned person, according to truth, Amanina Manadena, will naturally respect everyone and not expect respect for oneself. That is real knowledge. The Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga Avatar. He descended especially to establish the chanting of the holy names. And who did he make the Yuganam Acharya? Haridas Thakur. Now, Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma, very exalted position. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the world a very striking lesson. He specifically put Haridas Thakur in a family of untouchables. And throughout his life, he was harassed, he was persecuted, he was blasphemed, he was misunderstood. Ramchandra Khan tried to destroy him because he couldn't tolerate seeing an outcast getting respect from others. Gopal Chakravarti blasphemed him miserably for saying love of God was the highest goal of life? How could we tolerate hearing wisdom from an untouchable? And Brahmins, smart Brahmins, went to the governor in Fuliagram and had him beaten in 22 marketplaces with this exclusive intent of murdering him. Again and again. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called Haridas Thakur the crown jewel of the whole creation. When Haridas expressed that I want to leave this world in your presence, Lord Chaitanya was very emotional. What do I have to live for without your association? And when the Lord finally fulfilled his request, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this so-called untouchable body, Lord Chaitanya, now when a body's dead, it's untouchable, no matter who you are. But here he was, an untouchable, untouchable from a material perspective. And Lord Chaitanya was embracing that body and dancing with it, and he wouldn't let go. He had so much love. This is the Supreme Lord. And then there was Dukhi, just a maidservant. Obviously from a very low caste, from material calculation. And all she did is a most menial service. She just carried some clay pots of water, and just to assist her masters, she would just put the water in a nice place so that they can pick it up and offer it to the Lord. Didn't say a word. A maidservant just doing her service. But Lord Chaitanya saw her heart. She really wanted to please Srivas, who was a Vaishnava. So Lord Chaitanya was looking right at her. What is her name? Srivas said, Dukhi, which means the miserable one. And Mahaprabhu said, no, I don't like that name. Today I change her name to Sukhi, the happy one. But he not only gave the name, he gave the happiness. Immediately, just by his glance, her heart erupted with ecstatic love of God that was unceasing for all eternity. The Lord just wants to see our sincerity, our service attitude, our desire. Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami how pure devotional service is very, very rare. And there are many reasons why it's so rare. One is, it could only be gotten by great Vaishnavas. That's the way Krishna distributes it within this world. And Krishna doesn't give it easy because when he gives it, he also gives himself. When you have pure devotional service, Krishna willingly, voluntarily becomes subordinate to that love. He told Haridas and many others, I am a prisoner in your heart. Nobody in this world wants to be a prisoner. But Krishna wants to be a prisoner. Forever. In the hearts of his devotees. Bound by the love of his devotee. Krishna is Swarat. He's supremely independent. But the very peak of his unlimited independence is he chooses to be dependent on the love of his devotee. So Krishna doesn't give that very easy. But Srila Prabhupada writes, but he does give it easy. If you just have three qualities, that you are sincere, that you are serious, and that you have no ulterior motives in your devotional service to the Lord.
Trinarapi suniche natador ibase hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari.
Just chant the holy names with this aspiration. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and not expecting such respect for oneself. Just do that. And Krishna will give you pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya will be a prisoner in your heart and will be a prisoner in his heart. It's all about prison life. We want to be Krishna's prisoners and Krishna wants to be his devotees' prisoners. This is love. And if you're not that kind of prisoner, then you're a prisoner of Maya, the illusory energy, which is not about love. It's about greed and envy and selfishness. But it is our constitutional nature. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidatati kaman. We are always subordinate to Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Puri, we discussed yesterday, he fell down in ecstasy of love in front of Lord Jagannath. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being very much attracted to this young sannyasi, he brought him home. We talked about how Sarvabhauma was a grihastha, Mahaprabhu a sannyasi. Sarvabhauma is the disciple. Lord Chaitanya is his direct guru. Sarvabhauma is a jiva devotee and Lord Chaitanya is a supreme absolute truth. And from another perspective, Sarvabhauma was a very elderly, cultured man. And Lord Chaitanya was only 24 years old. He was hardly the son of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he heard Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda criticizing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, saying that he doesn't believe you're God. He's such a Mayavadi. He's such an impersonalist. He's not accepting your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, why are you saying these things? He's very kind to me. He's merciful to me. He has parental affection for me. He wants to help me. Why are you finding faults in him? This is the quality of a great soul. There are so many reasons to find faults with people. But if you actually want to help people, you have to see the good in them. You have to see that part of that spark of God within them if you really want to help them. Lord Chaitanya was so humble to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was so grateful that Sarvabhauma's heart melted. He said, this sannyasi, never seen anything like it. He's so humble, he's so meek, and he's so beautiful. My affection is growing and growing and growing for him. Little did he know what Lord Chaitanya was doing. He was opening his heart to receive mercy. You see, you can give mercy, but if a person's heart is not open to independently, freely receive it, like giving nutritious food to a person who has no digestion. It just goes right through and there's no benefit.
And we came to yesterday where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brings Lord Chaitanya into Jagannath's temple. And they're sitting together. And Sarvabhauma, very cultured gentleman, he puts Lord Chaitanya on a high seat and he's sitting on the floor. And he expresses to the Lord that you're only 24 years old, you're very young, and the vows of a sannyasi are very difficult. The only way you're going to be able to survive and maintain the regulative principles is you have to be deeply educated in Vedanta. And Lord Chaitanya, with such a sincere and humble heart, he says to Sarvabhauma, he said, I am a fool. I don't know anything. I don't understand any of these things. He said, but you are, I'm taking shelter of you. I accept you as my spiritual master. Please instruct me.
And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya instructed, 7 days, all day, every day. How would you like to have been in that class? Wasn't Bhagavatam. It was Brahma Sutra. Just, and it was all Shankar Mayavad logical hypothesis. 7 days, all day. And Lord Chaitanya sat there and listened. On the 8th day, Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked, you didn't say a word all 7 days. I did all the talking. I'm trying to know if you understood or not. And Lord Chaitanya said, I didn't understand a word of it. I'm a fool. How can I understand these things? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you didn't understand anything. He said, no, nothing you said did I understand. He said, I was talking 7 days. Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you ask any questions? You're just totally silent. And the Lord said, I understand all the verses of Vedanta Sutra. They're very easy to understand. It's very clear. But your speculative interpretations simply agitated my mind. No one ever said that to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was the guru of the king. He was the official guru of the entire kingdom. There were sannyasis and scholars coming from every part of India to come to study under him. And here is this 24-year-old boy telling him that all of his explanations were an illusion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Vedanta Sutra gives the direct meanings of all the Upanishads. But you have abandoned all of these direct meanings and given your own interpretive speculations. And in doing so, your explanations have no authority whatsoever. Believe me, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not falling asleep. No one ever spoke to him like this. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain. The Brahma Sutra, it's like the fully illuminated sun in the sky. And these interpretations of yours are like a dark cloud covering and obscuring the true meaning.
And then he said that the absolute truth is described in all the Vedas as the supreme Brahman, Param Brahman. And that is the ultimate goal of life. And the highest feature of the absolute truth is the supreme person. To know the absolute truth means to understand that he has two specific features of impersonal and personal. But of the two, the personal is all-inclusive, because all the variegatedness that exists is emanating ultimately from the personality of Godhead. And that supreme person, the Vedas explain, is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. His body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And he has six opulences eternally. He's the origin and the complete whole of all beauty, all knowledge, all wealth, all fame, all strength, and all renunciation. And you, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, are saying he's formless. You are saying that when God comes with a form in this world, that the absolute truth is being transformed into the material mode of goodness. And that ultimately his body, his pastimes, his names are all an illusion. The Lord has three primary energies. Sat Chit Ananda. He's eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. The absolute truth has, in the spiritual world, these three energies are manifest as eternity or Sandini potency, knowledge, Samvit potency, and Ananda, Thahlidini Shakti. And this Chit-Shakti, the spiritual potency of the Lord, has three phases. Antaranga, the internal potency, the spiritual energy that manifests the entire spiritual world. The Bahiranga Shakti, the external potency or Maya Shakti that manifests the entire material existence. And the Tathashta Shakti, the Jiva, who is the part and parcel of Krishna. These potencies of the Lord's go through transformations, but the Lord himself is never transformed. But you, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you are teaching this speculative philosophy that the Lord has no potencies, and it's the absolute truth that's transforming.
Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam.
Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is forever the master and controller of all energies, material and spiritual.
And the jiva, the living entity, is eternally the servant of these energies. But you are saying that there is no difference between the jiva and the Paramatma. You are saying there's no difference between the soul and God. In this way, you are covering the truth. When the Vedas tell that the absolute truth has no eyes and no legs and no hands, but yet he sees everything. He accepts all offerings everywhere, and he can go anywhere. You say that means he has no body, he has no hands, he has no eyes. But that's not what the Vedas tell. It means he has no material body. He has no material qualities. He has eyes that see everything, everywhere, at all times. He has hands that can accept offerings anywhere, and he is everywhere as well. The Lord, he is Satchidananda Vigraha. The Vedas emphatically state he is not like our material bodies that we are attached to. But you are misconceiving it to mean he has no body, he has no form.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was really becoming confused. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that you say that the body of Krishna is a byproduct of the mode of goodness?
The entire cosmic manifestation and everything that exists is emanating from that body.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva pajante mambudha bhava samandita. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, all material and all spiritual worlds are emanating from me. Everything is emanating from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts.
Bahunam janmanamante jnanapamam papadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha.
Even after studying knowledge of the Vedas, birth after birth after birth, when one finally comes to the point of perfection, one surrenders to Vasudev, knowing Krishna to be the cause of all causes and all that is.
And you're saying Krishna's just a temporary byproduct of the modes of goodness? You are saying that the entire material existence is an illusion?
But according to the Shastra, the proper understanding is no. The material world is real because it is a manifestation of the eternal energies of the Lord. The manifestations within this material existence may be temporary, but they are real. The illusion is, the only one illusion is when the eternal soul, the part of God that is totally transcendental, identifies with this body. We're thinking we're made out of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. The Krishna tells in Gita, apareyami tashtvanyam prakritim miribeha. Jiva Bhuta Mahaba, that besides this inferior energy, there is a superior energy, which is the eternal soul, which is giving life and consciousness everywhere. A part of God. Then the Lord said, but actually, I can't blame you, because you are quoting from Sripad Shankaracharya. And he's not at fault because he's just carrying out his instructions. And the Lord quoted from the Shastra how Vishnu tells Shiva, descend into the world and teach this philosophy that covers the true meaning of the Vedas to help Kali Yuga to progress. It was all for a very merciful divine plan. And then he quotes where Lord Shiva explains to Parvati that he was going to come in the form of a Brahmin to cover true knowledge and mislead people. It's not at fault. At that point, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was completely stunned. He was totally silent. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please know that the real knowledge of the Vedas is ultimately in three divisions: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. To establish our relationship with God, to act according to that relationship, and to achieve the ultimate perfection of life, prema pumarta mahan, which is unmotivated, uninterrupted love for Krishna. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained how even the most highly detached, liberated souls are attracted to Krishna. Atmarama Shchamuniya. The Lord quoted this Atmarama verse. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, please explain this Atmarama verse to me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you are the greatest of all scholars. Everyone's coming to learn from you. You are a master at grammar and Sanskrit and all the different systems of philosophy. You explain the Atmarama verse to me. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained the Atmarama verse. Lord Chaitanya listened very patiently. Then Sarvabhauma said, now give your explanation. And the Lord, Sarvabhauma explained it in 9 different ways. Can you imagine what a brain he had? Taking one verse and elaborately, eloquently, with philosophy, with analogies, with sastric evidences, he explained one verse from 9 different perspectives. And then Lord Chaitanya explained each word 18 different ways. And he didn't touch a single point of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it was a critical point in his career. He began to present so many arguments to try to defeat his opponent, Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, who was still very humble and respectful, completely annihilated all of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's ideas. And then Sarvabhauma again just became completely silent. But when he heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu complete his explanations of the Atmarama verse, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came to a conclusion. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can speak like this except God himself. By the Lord's mercy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could understand who he was. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became extremely humble. He said, I have offended you. I have misjudged you. I have not understood you at all. Please forgive my offenses. Now I accept you as the Lord of my life, of my heart. I surrender to you. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered his prostrate obeisances and clung to the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Lord lifted him up. And right there, in Lord Jagannath's temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya his forearm form as Lord Narayan. Holding the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. Then that form of Lord Narayan manifested Shamsundar, Krishna, standing in his beautiful threefold bending form, his complexion like a dark monsoon cloud, his eyes like blooming lotus petals,
His nose like the sesame flower. His lips shining red like the fresh ripe bimba fruit. His neck swirling in three places like a conch shell. His shoulders were broad. His chest was wide. He wore a peacock feather on his beautiful hair, which was shining, blackish, curling around his moon-like face. His teeth were like rows of pearls. He had earrings shaped like sharks. His dhoti, his bottom cloth, was golden like lightning. Vajayanti mala, fragrant flower garland that reached beyond his knees as he stood gazing upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He had Kastubamani and Gunjamala. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing this darshan of Gopinath, he fell unconscious in ecstasy. He had achieved the ultimate perfection of all perfections. Then he composed 100 verses in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, try it. Not that he went home for, you know, a few days and worked on his Apple computer. Right then and there, it just flowed right out of his mouth. 100 perfect Sanskrit verses glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the all-merciful Savior of his life. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased, he was so happy with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's devotion, that he personally embraced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Being in the embrace of the loving arms of Lord Gauranga, Sarvabhauma went mad in ecstasy. He started laughing. He started crying. He began to dance. Nobody could ever conceive of Sarvabhauma dancing. And Lord Chaitanya was dancing with them. They were dancing together in the Jagannath temple as they were both weeping and crying and laughing. And their Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's hairs were standing on end. His limbs were trembling. And Gopinath Acharya, his brother-in-law, was watching in great happiness. Because as you remember yesterday, Gopinath Acharya was telling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you cannot recognize that the Supreme Lord is living right in your own house, sitting right in front of you, because your heart is like a dry, barren piece of land. And because you have not received a single tinge of mercy. Only if the Lord shows mercy upon you is it possible to understand who he is. And Mukunda and Gopinath Acharya were very upset with Sarvabhauma. And now they see him dancing in ecstasy, howling and chanting the holy names of Krishna. And Gopinath Acharya said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you gave him your mercy. That's the only explanation. And Lord Chaitanya, so humble, he said, not like that. It's because you are his brother-in-law and you're such a great devotee. Because of his association with you, Lord Jagannath has given him love of God. Then to celebrate, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took them all for prasad. He arranged Jagannath's prasad for everyone.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya that because you're the Supreme Lord, for you to deliver the whole world is not a great task at all. But for you to have delivered me, who was such a speculative, dry-hearted person, such a fool, that is a great wonder. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath's temple very early. And the pujari gave him Jagannath's Mahaprasad. And before sunrise, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Sarvabhauma was sleeping. And Lord Chaitanya heard. He was just outside as Sarvabhauma woke up. And the first thing out of his mouth, Lord Chaitanya heard, was, "Krishna, Krishna!" The Lord was very happy. Then he saw Lord Chaitanya's there, and he came out to greet him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered his obeisances. He bowed down before Lord Chaitanya, and he came and gave him a very nice seat in the most sanctified place of his house. And Lord Chaitanya, with great affection, he had Jagannath's prasad wrapped up in his own outer cloth, and he gave him that prasad. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately chanted a prayer. The prayer was something like, Mahaprasad is non-different than the Lord. It's the mercy of the Lord, and it should be honored immediately, even if it's coming from a distant place, even if it's old, even if it looks kind of stale. Don't even consider these things. It's the mercy of the Lord. Accept it. Eat it. And after saying these prayers and bowing to the prasad, he immediately ate it. Now, this was very unusual because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very staunch Brahmin. And staunch Brahmins don't eat anything until they at least wash their mouth out after they wake up from sleeping all night. He didn't bathe. He didn't wash off his mouth. He didn't do his morning duties. He didn't do any puja. He just ate. Lord Chaitanya was really happy. And he said that today I have conquered the three worlds. Today I have ascended to the spiritual world. Today all of my desires are fulfilled because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that hard-hearted logician, has understood the glories of Krishna's Mahaprasad. The next day in Jagannath's temple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, of all the different processes of bhakti or devotional service, which is the most important? Lord Chaitanya replied, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Then Lord Chaitanya quoted from the Brihad Naradiya Purana, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. In this age of Kali, the most powerful, the most beneficial, the only way to awaken the ecstatic love of God within our heart is to chant the holy names of Lord Hari. And it is repeated three times for emphasis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu elaborately explained this verse to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Kali kale namarupe Krishna avatar. In this age, Krishna descends, incarnates in the sound of his name. With all of his potencies, with all of his opulences. Nama chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya rasvikra. Krishna is his name. As many of you have heard from His Grace Purijan Prabhu, His different seminars on chanting and japa. When we absorb ourselves in the sound vibration of Krishna's name, we are in the presence of God. And because Krishna is pavitra, all pure, by associating with Krishna, we become purified. Because Krishna is all attractive. When we chant the holy name attentively, with humility and devotion, our heart's natural, innate attraction and love for Krishna awakens. And there are no hard and fast rules for the chanting of the holy names. I have told the story of Puri, that one Brahmin, he was so attached to chanting the holy names. He was tasting such nectar when he was chanting the holy names. He couldn't stop chanting. But he was thinking that when I go to the bathroom, or what sadhus call responding to nature's call, and nature can really call. Very persistent. How many of you have this experience? Doesn't matter if you're American or Indian or African or even Pakistani, everybody. Whether you're an atheist or whether you're a Vaishnav or a Jew or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jain or a Zoroastrian or a Christian or an agnostic or a communist or a capitalist or a socialist, nature calls. And we have to respond. And if you don't respond when she calls, then she howls. If you don't respond to that, she screams. And if you don't respond to that, you're going to die. You have to surrender. So he was thinking, how can I chant when I'm doing that? So he would try to hold his tongue. He'd be going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And when he was going to respond to nature, you think, I can't chant. God is not different than His name. It's not like you go in the temple and you do this stuff. So what's the difference? The deity and the name are the same, identical. So as he was trying to respond to nature, or evacuate, as they say in... Well, people have all kinds of words for it. He was holding his tongue. But his tongue was so spontaneously attracted. It was Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Couldn't stop his tongue from chanting. It was impossible. And a little boy happened to see him and walked up to him. And he said, don't you know Lord Chaitanya taught us for chanting the holy names there are no hard and fast rules. You can chant anywhere, even like this. Go on chanting. And the person, Hare Krishna, he was very happy. Now Lord Chaitanya saw this little boy say that, and he was very pleased with him. So he called the little boy, and the boy came to him, and Lord Chaitanya put him on his lap. And he revealed his divine opulences to this boy. And when this boy, and Lord Chaitanya said to this boy, he said, because you have so much faith in the holy names of Krishna, I accept you as my guru. His name became Gopal Guru. Became one of the great acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that there are no hard and fast rules, and anyone can achieve the ultimate perfection by simply learning the art of chanting the holy names with sincerity, with humility, and with absorption. And now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he became addicted to the holy names of Lord Hari. Gopinathacharya reminded Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you remember I told you that only when you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya are you going to be able to understand what is bhakti and what is love of God and who is the Lord? You got the mercy? And Sarvabhauma was so humble. With a faltering voice, he said, not like that. Because I associated with you, and you're a first-class great devotee, because of your prayers and your kindness and your mercy, the Lord showed his mercy to a fallen, unqualified person like me. When Lord Chaitanya, he was sitting right there, when he heard Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in this mood of the servant of the servant of the servant, appreciating another Vaishnav the way he did, the Lord was so pleased. Now, this is very interesting, because the Lord directly, the personality of God, had directly delivered Sarvabhauma. But he didn't see it that way. He saw it was only by the mercy of a Vaishnav, Gopinathacharya, who happened to be like his equal. One day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after visiting the Jagannath temple, he wrote two verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya on two palm leaves. And he gave it to Jagadananda Pandit and told him, please give this to the Lord. So Jagadananda Pandit came to Lord Chaitanya's home. This was at the maternal aunt of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That's where he was staying, at her house. And Mukunda understood the Lord's heart. So he asked Jagadananda Pandit, let me see those verses before you go inside. And he very particularly, because it was happening fast, so he didn't have any, they didn't have paper in those days, he didn't have any fresh palm leaves, so he copied each of those verses on the outer wall of the room. Then he gave them back to Jagadananda. And Jagadananda gave the verses to the Lord. And when the Lord read them, they were glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna himself, the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya was in the role of a devotee most of the time, and he could not tolerate, at least externally, when people called him God, because he wanted to teach the world that we are not God, we are the servants of God. So Lord Chaitanya read the verses, he smiled, and then he immediately ripped up the palm leaves and threw them away. Finished. But by the grace of Mukunda Dutt, they were copied on the wall outside. And after he smiled and ripped them up, all the devotees were wondering, what did it mean? What did he write? Did he write? What did he write? And then they all gathered around the wall outside. And they were very, very happy. Now, we will begin yesterday's class. Do you remember yesterday's class? This was the verse that we
We give little background before beginning.
How many of you would like to hear the two verses that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had written? Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartameka purusha purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Thari Kripam Budhirt Yastva Tamaham Prapadye. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge. His devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. Purport. This verse and the following verse are included in the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka by Sri Kavi Karnapur. Kalanastam bhakti yogam nijamya praduskartam krishna chaitanya nama avirbhutasthasya padaravinde gadam gatam liyatam chitta bringaha. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself. This system had almost been lost due to the influence of time. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada so beautifully summarizes the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to the world. Krishna descended and he taught us Bhagavad Gita. There it is said, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavrapati bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Age after age, I appear within this world. Paritranaya sarvudam, vinashaya chaduskritam, dharma samstapa naradaya sambhavami juge juge. I deliver the pious. I reestablish the principles of religion and I remove obstacles by annihilating miscreants. Ramchandra, Narasingha, Krishna, they appeared for this purpose with many others. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Masucha. Abandon all varieties of Dharma and come to the essence. Surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. And Krishna explains in Gita the very essence of how to surrender. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mamai vaishasi syatyam te pratijani hiru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. It is my promise because you are my friend. But people didn't know how to always remember Krishna. In the age of Kali, people become so cripple-minded, so distracted by so many illusions. What does it mean to surrender? So Krishna appeared in the role of his own devotee to teach us.
Srila Prabhupada used the example that when a teacher is teaching us how to write the alphabet, this is how you make A. And she puts on the blackboard the exercise. First one, cross one line like this, and then one line, and then one between the two. And she's going through the exercise. Now, the teacher doesn't need to go through the exercise, but she goes through it herself just to teach us how to do it. So similarly, Krishna, who is Jagat Guru, the supreme guru and the ultimate object of everyone's love, he comes in the role of a devotee to teach us by his example how to be a devotee, how to surrender to Krishna, how to love Krishna. And he taught us, as he taught Sarvabhauma, but the most important of all principles in this age of Kali to always remember Krishna is to constantly chant his holy name. This is what it means to give Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya taught by his own example. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur first sent his very, very prominent disciples to the West, specifically London, in Germany, to share bhakti, he gave them the formula of how they should preach. He quoted Prabodhananda Saraswati, that you approach these people with all respect, with folded palms, with straw between your teeth. That means you're utterly humbling yourself before them. And then you speak to them as gentlemen and ladies. The dear sir, you are very learned, you are very cultured, you are very pious. And when you do that, you're seeing good in them. And they start becoming affectionate to you because you're humble. And then you tell them, but everything you know is an illusion. And by that time they say, well, if he sees all, if he thinks I'm a gentleman and he thinks I'm very learned and everything, then he must be right. The heart is receptive. They accept. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when you go to London, understand you're going as a beggar. These people have so much. They are cultured people. You're going as a beggar. You're going to beg them to accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. You're not going to preach down at them. They will not accept that. And that's how Prabhupada came to the West. He did not compromise. But he won people's hearts. When we speak to the devotees in the beginning, in 26 Second Avenue, or before, or Frederick Street in San Francisco, where our Rukmini Devi Prabhu joined, we hear from them. They didn't even really understand the philosophy all that much, because Prabhupada had Bengali accent, and he was... And they didn't really, it took a while to get accustomed to it. By the time they understood the philosophy, they were already totally surrendered. Because they loved Prabhupada. Because they trusted Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada saw a goodness in them that nobody in the world could see.
Because Prabhupada saw in their hearts that they were part of God, that they were divine beings. And he took that little spark and fanned it. They felt Prabhupada's love. And Prabhupada's humility? He's 71 years old? And there's teenagers coming to him? Prabhupada never broke any regulative principle in his life. He was a sannyasi who had lived in Vrindavan for so many years and had translated the topmost of all Vedic literatures, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's with these teenage people who are addicted to eating meat and having illicit sex. And they were even coming to meet him intoxicated by marijuana and LSD sometimes. Probably usually. And they were gambling their lives away. And yet Prabhupada is cooking for them and cleaning for them and teaching them how to dress and how to put on tilak. There was no judgment. He was serving. In a generation where there was no trust in the older generation. In India, you don't understand this so much. But Rukmini and Prithu Prabhu and Chandramali Maharaj and Burijan Prabhu, we understand where we're coming from. Don't trust anyone over 30 years old. They will mislead you. Yes? There was a generational war going on in America. The young generation was against. There was demonstrations. The old generation had the United States Army and National Guard shooting our people for demonstrating against their values and their beliefs. Kent State. It was a war. And here comes Prabhupada, 70 years old. And all these people are flocking around him. Because he was just so humble and he had so much love in his heart and he respected them as spirit souls and they responded. They just wanted whatever he teaches, I'll follow. And he taught. And eventually, you know, he convinced them by his philosophy. But you see, when you put a seed in fertile soil, it grows rapidly and takes root. If you put a seed in dry, barren soil, the seed just sits there. It may take root after a long time, or it may just dry up and die. Yes? By Srila Prabhupada's character, by his humility, by his love, by his kindness, by his respectability, by his culture, by his affection. He took these people and made their hearts very soft and fertile and receptive. And then the seed of knowledge immediately took root and grew into a tree and bore fruits. And interestingly, this is exactly the technique of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Exactly. Gopinathacharya told Sarvabhauma, your heart is like dry, barren soil. The seed can't even exist, can't even go inside. But Mahaprabhu, by his affection, accepting him for who he was. Although the other devotees were disgusted with Sarvabhauma, Lord Chaitanya said, no, he's very kind, he's merciful. And Lord Chaitanya said to Sarvabhauma, I take shelter of you, I accept you as my guru. Now Sarvabhauma was really happy about that. That's what was required. His heart became soft and affectionate.
unless people trust us, unless people trust that we love them, that we care about them, they're not going to open their hearts to hear what we say. They may open their minds, but not their hearts. And bhakti is about the transformation of the heart, not just the mind. We have to convince people that we really care about them, that we're really instruments of God's love for them. And in order to convince people of that, you actually have to be that. It's not something artificial. To be empowered means you really care. If you really care about somebody and you want to give them Krishna, and you really have affection for that spirit soul, then Krishna will empower you to reach their hearts. That's preaching. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his devotees, and that's what Prabhupada demonstrated practically. We have to take shelter of the holy names. We have to take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam if we want to actually have that higher taste by which we can give it to others. But preaching is not about ego. I'm better than you. Preaching is about being the servant of the servant of the servant. This is the story of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And here, I will start today's class. Finished yesterday's class. Should I continue? In the month of Magh, Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip to Katwa and accepted the order of a sannyasi. Then he went to Sri Advaita Prabhu's house and there his beloved mother Sachi Devi, seeing him with his beautiful cascading hair that was the very essence of all beauty cut from his head, she wept tears. It was unbearable to her, thinking of her son living as a sannyasi, such a rough, rugged life. But on her request, he decided to go to Puri. He went to Puri, and in the month of Chaitra, he delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then one day he approached all his devotees. He held them by the hands. He said, "You are all so kind to me. You are my very best friends. By your mercy, you have all so affectionately brought me here to the holy place of Jagannath Puri." The Lord was showing such gratitude to his devotees for bringing him to Puri. Now, does that make sense? Yes. No. No, because Basu Ghosh prays, Jai Krishna, Jai Gora, Jai Jagannath, that he who is Krishna, he who is Gora, is he who is Krishna, is he who is Jagannath. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath are the same person. So Lord Chaitanya, Jagannath is living in Puri for thousands of years. The Jagannath temple that we see now, it was built 2,000 years ago
by a king named Anangabhima.
Jagannath's been sitting in that temple for 2,000 years. And before that, from the time of Satyayuga, he's been sitting there when King Indrajumana installed him.
And Lord Chaitanya is thanking his devotees. You are so kind. It is only by your mercy that you brought me here to Jagannath Puri. And then he said, I want to ask something from you. Please give me permission to go on a tour of South India. I want to find my brother Vishwaroop.
Now, Kaviraja Goswami explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows everything. He knows that Vishwaroop traveled all around the holy places throughout India. Then he came to Pandharapur here in Maharashtra. He's a local person. And in Maharashtra, he worshipped Vitthaldev, the Maharashtrian Ishtadev. And he departed from this world and went back to the spiritual world, merged into the body of Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya knew this. But he used this as an excuse to deliver the fallen souls of South India. And then Lord Chaitanya said to his devotees, please forgive me, but I want to go all alone and bring no one with me. How beautiful. The Supreme Lord asking permission from his devotees and begging forgiveness from his devotees. This is Trinadapi Sunichena. Nobody demonstrated this verse more than the divine person who spoke it. Nityananda Prabhu, well, all the devotees, it was unbearable for them to think of the Lord leaving. And Nityananda Prabhu said, please, Lord Gauranga, hear what we have to say. That when you travel, you're a sannyasi, so you're going to have to carry your water pot, and you're going to also have to carry a change of garments. And while you're traveling on the road, you're going to be chanting on your beads with one hand, and you're going to have to count those beads, so you're going to need your other hand. So you're going to need somebody to carry your water pot and your garments. You should bring at least two people with you. And whoever that person be, you can select, you can choose whoever you want. But let me please inform you, I've already been to all the places of South India. And I know how to get everywhere. So I'll be happy to go with you. And Mukunda very much wanted to go with him. And Jagadananda and Damodar, his four associates, they all really wanted to go with him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Nityananda Prabhu, you are like a puppeteer and I am like your puppet. I wanted to go to Vrindavan and then you tricked me to go to Shantipur instead. I wanted to hold my danda and you broke it and threw it in the river. I will not take you. And Jagadananda always wants to give me sense gratification. I'm a sannyasi. I'm not supposed to have sense gratification. But Jagadananda gives me sense gratification. If I just try to follow the regulative principles of my ashram, he becomes angry and he fasts for 3 days just to punish me. And Mukunda doesn't try to give me sense gratification, but when he sees me sleeping on the ground or taking cold baths and doing what a sannyasi is supposed to do, He becomes so unhappy, and when I see his unhappiness, I become even more unhappy than him. And as far as Damodar Pandit, he's a brahmachari. He's supposed to serve sannyasis. But he treats me like a master holding a stick over me. He thinks he knows everything about culture and etiquette. And he chastises me if I don't do things exactly the way he thinks I should do it. And he doesn't like to see me doing these austerities. I want to be free to live like a sannyasi. I cannot take any of you. Please forgive me. Nityananda Prabhu said, we don't want you to go, but you are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. Ultimately, whatever makes you happy is our happiness, even if it makes us unhappy. This is only something a bhakta could understand. You really have to have the mercy of Krishna to understand this idea. Our only goal is to make you happy. Our only happiness is to make you happy, even if it makes us unhappy. But here is a boy, Kalkrishnadas. He's a new man. He's not intimate like the rest of us. Let he and his assistant, let them just carry your water pot and carry your garments, and we promise he won't say a word. He'll just do his service. This will make us very happy if you take him. Because there's thieves and there's robbers and there's all kinds of dangers. So you shouldn't go alone. So Lord Chaitanya, just to please them, accepted Kalkrishnadas as his servant. And then he went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house and told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya his plan to go to South India. And we come to this verse today where Lord Chaitanya is begging. He's begging Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to give him his blessings. And he's asking him, while I'm away and you're performing your devotional service, your puja at home in your own temple, please pray for me. Please bless me so that I could come back here. And Srila Prabhupada so nicely explains the lesson Lord Chaitanya is teaching the world through this wonderful dialogue. Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What an example of Vaishnava society. Bhaktivinoda had a wife, Bhagavati, who was also a Paramahamsa great Vaishnavi. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 10 children. And he had a government post as a magistrate. And yet, Gorkishore Das Babaji, who was the very personification of renunciation, when he was living in Vrindavan, Gorkishore Das Babaji would just go to the Yamuna and reach his hand in and take out some mud and eat it, and that was his lunch. Very detached. And what he wanted to do, his bhajan, his chanting, in Navadweep, if people were coming to get benedictions from him, he didn't want to give these mundane benedictions. He would go, he just wore a loincloth. Sometimes he would forget to put on his loincloth. But he would go to the place where everyone responded to Mother Nature's calls. Now, usually if you go there,
You leave much faster than you go. We're not going to go into any details.
But he would spend the whole day there chanting, just so nobody would bother him. How detached. Absolutely, there was no sense gratification in his life. There was just the holy names and meditation on Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But yet Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and so many other great renunciates, they would come to take the blessings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji considered Bhaktivinoda his Shiksha Guru. He would regularly go to hear Bhaktivinoda's classes. He requested a little bhajan kutir right in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house so that he can stay there and associate with this householder. When Srila Prabhupada was living in Bombay many years ago, he was also a householder. And he was a team with his sannyasi godbrothers. And they would do kirtan and they would do preaching. And Prabhupada was very much instrumental in organizing things and doing kirtans and preaching and serving his godbrothers and facilitating. And they live very close, just a few minutes from our temple. And they started a temple just a few blocks away. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came here. And the sannyasi said that Abhay Babu, Abhay Charanaravinda Babu, he is such a great preacher. He's such a great organizer, such a good kirtan singer. He should be the president of this temple. Just see how they were appreciating each other. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, let him be as he is now. In time, he will do everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a beautiful song. Grihe Thako Vane Thako Sada Hari Pole Thako Sukhe Dukhe Bulo Nako Badne Hari Nam Koro Re Gai Gora Madhu Sware Nam Gai Gora Madhu Sware. Whether you're a grihasta living with family, or whether you're a renunciate sannyasi living in the forest, it really doesn't make that much difference. If we're taking shelter of the holy name of Krishna, we will transcend all the happiness and distress of this material world. Param drishvani vartati, by experiencing the higher taste of Krishna's holy name. So here in this verse today and throughout Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, and throughout the lives of all the great acharyas, we find how true Vaishnavism is about amanina manadena. Respectful, affectionate relationships. And Krishna is so pleased when he sees that devotees have respectful, affectionate relationships with each other. When he sees that type of sangam, he empowers us. Appreciation is an act of love. If you appreciate what another devotee does, Krishna is so pleased with you. He showers his mercy on you. If you're envious with another person does, whatever else you do, Krishna's not very pleased. Because Krishna is empowering that person to do something.
If you're envious of that person, that means you're envious of Krishna. You're saying, Krishna, why are you having this person do that? You should have me do it. You're an illusion. You're off, Krishna. This is not right. Why are you empowering that person to do something so good? Why not me? And Krishna likes that. Krishna withdraws his mercy to a person who envies Vaishnavas. But he showers his mercy on a person who appreciates Vaishnavas. By appreciating what somebody else does, you may make more advancement than the person who does it. Because we don't know what his mentality or her mentality may be in doing it. But if we have a humble heart and appreciate it, Krishna is going to empower and bless us. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was very unhappy about this proposition of Lord Chaitanya going to South India. He said, my Lord, I my whole life I was in the darkness of ignorance and illusion, and you just picked me up, and so soon now you're leaving me in separation? It's like a thunderbolt in my heart. He said, I could tolerate a thunderbolt directly hitting me in the head. I can tolerate the death of my own son, but I cannot tolerate separation from you. But still, if it is your will, but please stay another 4 days and stay in my house and let me feed you prasad. So Lord Chaitanya stayed another 4 days and stayed in his house. And then after 4 days, he asked for Sarvabhauma's blessings, and he left. Sarvabhauma went with him for some ways, as did all the devotees. And after some distance where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not go any further, the Lord asked for his blessings, actually, in this verse. And then the Lord just turned around and left. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so emotionally affected that he fell unconscious. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains, if you're just leaving someone and they just go, and they faint and they fall unconscious, you know, you go back and see how they are. And you try to make them all right. And then you leave after you see they're all right. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even look back. He just left. Very uncommon activities of great souls. Why did he do that? Ultimately, the Lord never leaves us. He's within our hearts. They went to Alalanath, where there's a very, very ancient deity that was once worshipped by the Awars of the South India. And Mahaprabhu began his kirtan, was dancing ecstatically. And all the people from Alalanath and all the neighboring villages, they all came. And seeing the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's dance and hearing the sweet sound of his chanting, everyone became intoxicated, mesmerized, and they were all dancing along with the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya, just by glancing upon them and showering the sound of the holy name, he gave them all ecstatic love of Krishna. It was a beautiful kirtan. And when Nityananda Prabhu saw this, he made a prediction. This took place in Alalanath. He said, this kirtan of Mahaprabhu of the chanting of the holy names will spread into every town and village. And Srila Prabhupada says, that doesn't mean just India. Nityananda was predicting that it will spread through every town and village in the world. And then Prabhupada very humbly, and he said, it is our humble efforts of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to fulfill, with the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, to fulfill that prophecy. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bid farewell to all of his devotees and began his South Indian tour. And all of them, Nityananda Prabhu included, they all fell unconscious. They couldn't believe he's actually leaving us. And he just kept walking and did not turn back. Arivo. Now back to our exalted God sister Rukmini Devi's thoughts. Why did Lord Chaitanya take sannyas? Why did he leave Sachi Devi? Why did he leave Vishnupriya? He left everyone. And he already revealed that his devotees were more dear to him than his own life. He explained that you are all more dear to me than my own life. Lord Chaitanya told his devotees in Puri, I can easily give up my life, but it's impossible for me to give up your association. And then he left them. This Vipralamba Seva was so much what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced to the world. Gaur Leela is non-different than Vrindavan Leela. Krishna stayed in Vrindavan for less than 11 years, and for the next, 114 years? He was away from Vrindavan. And they were in separation. We explained yesterday morning, in that separation, in remembering him so intensely, Krishna was personally, directly reciprocating within their hearts with their love. When Krishna was away from Vrindavan, he was feeling as much separation from the Brijavasis as they were for him. And in that love and separation, they were never separated. Because spiritual love is beyond geographical limitations or those of time. Even though Srila Prabhupada's Gurudev left about 30 years before, Prabhupada told us, I never feel a moment not in the presence of my Guru Maharaj. And that was in the intense experience of separation, executing his order. So yes, when Lord Chaitanya was going on a South Indian tour, imagine what he put his devotees through. There was no way to communicate with him. He was leaving with Kal Krishnadas to go all the way down thousands and thousands of miles to Setu Banda, to Kanyakumari, and then up the western coast. He was going to be going through jungles. He was going to be climbing mountains. Where was he going to eat? What was going to happen? They didn't know if he would ever come back. And poor Sachi Mata, she's in Navadvip, in her little house in the bank of the Ganga.
She begged Lord Chaitanya, don't go to Vrindavan, go to Puri, then I'll always get news about you and I'll know where you are. At least if he was in Vrindavan, she'd know he's in Vrindavan. But now he's traveling in South India. And Sachimata gets the news he left Puri. They had no idea where he was. It's not like he had Facebook and he was telling his devotees, you know, what I did today and who I met today. Nothing. He was gone. No news. And he was gone for 2 years. They were in separation. Why the Lord did that to them? Because of his love. Because in that separation, they were tasting the sweetest experience of his presence. They were tasting the reciprocation of his love in that profound way of Vipra Lamba Seva. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly came to this world to taste Srimati Radharani's love. Krishna Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Mahaprabhu is Krishna who descends to this world to taste the sweetness of Radha's love and to distribute that love to the world. And we were discussing yesterday when he began his mission of the Sankirtan movement. He came back from Gaya and his mood was immediately love and separation. He told the devotees, I have to reveal my heart to you. Bring my most intimate associates. I have to share the sorrow of my heart. Come tomorrow morning to the house of Sriman Pandit. And they came. And Nimai, Lord Gauranga, he said, I saw Krishna. In Kanai Natasala, Krishna appeared to me. And I ran to embrace him, and then he disappeared. And then the Lord grabbed onto a pillar and slid down it and fell to the ground weeping. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He has abandoned me. This was his mood. This was the internal reason he descended to this world to experience the love of separation of Radharani. The Gopi Gita was written in separation, where the highest expressions of divine love manifested to the world. And for the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's life in world, in Gambira, he practically did nothing but taste the sweetness of love and separation. And he came to share that with the world. It was his mercy to his devotees. He could have just told everyone, just come and live with me. For his devotees in Bengal, they came for some time, 3-4 months, then he sent them back. 8 months in separation, 4 months they see the Lord. But on a South Indian tour, he left everyone in separation. When he began that tour, he began chanting down the roads. Wherever he went, he did the same thing. He was dancing down the footpaths, chanting, Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo.
This is what Lord Chaitanya did everywhere, constantly. And whoever saw him, he would induce them to chant with them.
And when he saw anyone chanting the names of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so emotionally indebted to them, so grateful to them,
that anyone who accepted the name of Krishna for them, from him,
he embraced them and told them, "You are my life and my soul," and gave them ecstatic love of Krishna.
Wherever he went, there were crowds of people around, and even if one person just happened to be down the road, he would be dancing, doing kirtan with that one person. And then he'd send them, "Now, wherever you go, constantly chant the name of Krishna and instruct others to chant the name of Krishna."
And those people, they would go back to their villages. They loved the Lord. They attained love of God. And they would teach everybody they met anywhere, chant the names of Krishna, and they would get those people to chant. And anybody who chanted, hearing from them, they would go back to their homes and teach everyone to chant. In this way, hundreds and thousands of people were becoming perfected Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, chanting the holy names. But please understand, those people who met the Lord on the roadside, the thousands and thousands of people that he embraced and initiated in the chanting of God's names, they never saw him again.
You know, for most of us, you know, if we go somewhere and get some success, we're expected to come back. Mahaprabhu never came back. He circled the southern part of India and the eastern western provinces once. They met the Lord for a few minutes, gave their lives and souls, and for the rest of their lives, they relished the nectar of love in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to Kurukshetra, where there's that ancient Kurma deity, and Mahaprabhu did the same thing. But please understand, the same thing is ever fresh and ever new. When we don't taste the nectar of the holy names, we think, well, what's next? I've heard this story before. Something new. The fact is, these stories are ever new. They are eternal. The holy name of Krishna is ever new. It is eternal. Mahaprabhu was doing kirtan and everyone in Kurukshetra was dancing and chanting with him, intoxicated with the holy names. And then a Kurma Brahmin came and invited him to his house. He and his whole family washed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet with water, and then they all drank it. Then the Kurma Brahmin offered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a nice sitting place and offered him prasad, and then shared the remnants with his whole family. Then the Kurma Brahmin offered a prayer. He said, my Lord, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the greatest personalities in the entire universe are yearning even for a moment to catch a glimpse of your lotus feet. And today, those same two lotus feet are standing right inside of my house. Today, you have made all my riches, my whole family, my entire life successful. Srila Prabhupada explains here that it indicates that he was actually quite wealthy. But the Lord made everything auspicious just by being there. The Kurma Brahmin and his whole family surrendered to the Lord. And then the Kurma Brahmin spoke something else. He says, please hear my prayer. I am suffering due to the waves within this ocean of material existence. I want to give up this family life, my occupation, and I want to renounce everything to follow you. Does that sound good? Lord Chaitanya was very grave. He said, do not ever speak like that again. Better you remain at home and always chant the holy names of Krishna. And whoever you meet, teach them about this chanting of Krishna's name and instruct them in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And in this way, you become guru. No need to change your position. The need is to change the heart. He said, you just remain here and follow these simple instructions, and we will always be together. I will never leave you. And then the Lord left. But he didn't leave, because the Lord captured his heart. He spent the night talking about Krishna, and then the Lord left, and the Kurma Brahmin followed him. Spontaneously, he went with him, and the Lord turned and said, go back. Now, as the Lord was going to the next place at his South Indian tour, there was a Brahmin named Basudev, who happened to have a very advanced and severe case of leprosy. Vasudev heard that Lord Chaitanya was at the Kurma Brahmin's house. Somehow or other, although it was very difficult for him to move, he went there in a great rush, just begging to have darshan of the Lord. In his heart of heart, he knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just because of his faith. No one had to teach him anything. What was the quality of Vasudev? His leprosy was so excruciating that his whole body was filled with living worms eating away his flesh. Now, worms are very enthusiastic. He was not only their abode, his body was their residence, but he was their food. They were eating him away. Innumerable worms. And Vasudev's mentality was so respectful that if a single worm fell out from his body onto the ground, Vasudev would very carefully, very gently lift up the worm and place it in the exact place where the worm fell from. Now, some of you staff members of Bhaktivedanta Hospital, you can't imitate. We can follow in the footsteps of great souls, but we cannot imitate. This was how he respected every living being. He was paradukaduki. My body, I'm living in this body, the worms are also living in this body. They were his neighbors. That was his compassion. That was his humility. You know, some of us, we can't tolerate another devotee, you know, in the ashram living too close to us. We should understand from this story the humility and tolerance of a true Vaishnav. And the Lord in his heart saw that. He saw that compassion. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that Vasudev went to Kurma Brahman's house and found out the Lord had already left. Vasudev fell unconscious. I missed the opportunity of my life. The Lord knew and came all the way back and lifted up Vasudev and embraced him. As soon as he embraced Vasudev, the leprosy disappeared. It doesn't say so, but we assume the worms probably went back to Godhead. Because they did disappear. And Vasudev did love them, so... The Lord embraced Vasudev, and he had a beautiful, healthy, golden body. And Vasudev was overwhelmed. And he quoted a verse from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, spoken by Sudama Vipra. Said, "Who are you? You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, the proprietor of everything that exists, and who am I? I'm just a very poor, lowly son of a Brahmin. And yet, with your own loving arms, you have embraced me." Vasudev said, "My body was so abominable. It smelled so rotten from decaying flesh. It was so infectious with blood and disease
that there was no person in the whole world that was willing to even come near me due to the obnoxious smell. There was no person who would even come near me due to the infectious pusses and bloods that were flowing. And yet you lovingly embrace me. Therefore, I can understand without any doubt that you are the all-merciful, supreme personality of Godhead. But then Vasudeva was thinking in his heart. Now everyone will think I'm a great saint, because everyone knew what I looked like, and now I'm beautiful. The Lord gave me mercy, and I've been delivered. I might become proud. He became fearful of being proud. Now, philosophically, we understand that pride, false egoistic pride, is opposite of devotion. Humility is inseparable from devotion. To the degree we become egoistic, it spoils our devotional spirit. Vasudeva was concerned because we can only please Krishna through our devotion. Will this impede my ability to please Krishna? Lord Chaitanya could understand his mind and gave him the same instruction. He said, Vasudeva, just absorb yourself in chanting Krishna's name always, and false pride will never come into your heart. And I will never leave you. Then the Lord left again. And Vasudeva and Kurma Brahman never saw him again. The rest of their lives, they served the Lord in the intense feelings of separation, chanting the holy name. On the spirit of separation. Later on in his South Indian tour, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Srirangam and spent 4 months of the rainy season there, Chaturmasya. And just as a little advertisement, this year happens to be the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour. And it's the 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spending Chaturmasya in Srirangam. And to celebrate, our yatra this year will be in South India and Srirangam. So I invite you to come. Everyone can go. And interestingly, it was supposed to be in Kartik, because that's when we do our yatra in Kartik. But some things happen in America where I may not be able to come back, but I was willing to change it all and come back. But then I asked Gauranga Prabhu. Now, I'm sure you can all predict what he said. You ready? Because basically there's two vacation times. There's Diwali vacation in Kartik, and there's Christmas vacation in December. So I inquired, do you think the devotees would rather go in Kartik during Diwali vacation, or Christmas during the December vacation?
And he said, Kartik is the Uradal fast. That means we're going to South India. We can't eat idlis. We can't eat dosas. We can't eat sambar. We should definitely go in December. Now, from two perspectives, one is Gauranga Prabhu is very much in charge of the cooking and serve and preparing prasad for our yatras. So he's thinking about really pleasing all the devotees with prasad. He's always meditating as a selfless servant on pleasing all the devotees through the prasad. They plan for months and months the menus of how to prepare in Vrindavan, and he has his team of brahmacharis and others cooking. That's from the selfless point of view. From another point of view, Gauranga Prabhu is South Indian. And he really likes sambar and idli. Anyways, by his wisdom, we have crossed over all impediments. Somebody else told me, what's the use of going to South India if we can't eat idlis and sambar? So in December at Christmas time, we will all be going. The yatra will be in Srirangam for about 4 days. And we'll be in Rameshwaram for about 4 days. And we'll also go to Kanyakumari. And we'll also visit the Adi Keshava temple, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered Brahma Samhita on the banks of Payaswini River. And we'll also go to Ananta Padmanabh temple and Janardhan temple and some places in between that Lord Chaitanya visited. It's basically continuing where we left off last South Indian. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Srirangam, he spent 4 months at the house of Venkatabhata. Venkatabhata's son was just a little boy, about 4 or 5 years old. His name was Gopal Bhatta. And his father, immediately when Lord Chaitanya arrived, Venkatabhata saw Lord Chaitanya dancing in front of Ranganath and invited him to his home. And he said, it's Chaturmasya, sannyasis don't usually travel in the rainy season, so please stay in my home. And he asked him with such love and devotion, the Lord said, yes, I will stay. And then he washed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and then gave it to all of his family members to drink. And when his little son Gopal drank that water from Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and saw the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he surrendered his little heart and his life. And from that time on, little Gopal was Lord Chaitanya's personal assistant, serving him in every way possible. And one day Gopal had this intense feeling in his heart. He started crying. Why I missed seeing my Lord as Gauranga in Navadvip when he had beautiful long hair and he was living with his eternal consort, Vishnupriya. And he was decorated with lovely jewels and garlands. And he was enjoying with all of his devotees.
Why didn't I not see Navadvip Chandra? Why I have to see my Lord as an ascetic sannyasi with a shaved head? He was crying. And in that state, he went into a trance. And in the trance, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him as Navadvip Chandra, the Lord of Navadvip, with his devotees having Nam Sankirtan. And the Lord embraced him. And then he became... And then little Gopal fell unconscious. And then he came up, he fell unconscious in his trance. And then the Lord disappeared from him. And Lord Chaitanya was sitting somewhere, and little Gopal ran to the Lord, and he was sitting there in his sannyasi form. And Gopal fell at his feet, and then he looked up, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his form of Krishna. This is Gopal. At the end of the 4 months after Lord Chaitanya showered unlimited mercy upon that family, he told Gopal that you should remain here and serve your mother and father until they leave this world and I bring them back to the spiritual world. And at that time, you should go to Vrindavan to join Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Interestingly, Lord Chaitanya hadn't even met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami yet. Vedaham samatitani varata manani chaljuna babashani chabutini mam tu vedana kashtana. The Lord knows everything, past, present, and future. So when the Lord left, Gopal Bhatta, who became Gopal Bhatta Goswami, never saw him again. Service and separation. Venkata Bhatta, Trimala Bhatta, Prabodhananda, they never saw the Lord again. Why didn't they just go to Puri? Because it wasn't the will of the Lord. Why didn't the Brijabasis come to Dwarka? It was not the will of the Lord. It's not what would have satisfied them. Their life, their soul, their everything was simply to satisfy the Lord. And please meditate on this. For years and years, little Gopal served his mother and father, who were great Vaishnavas, until they passed away from this world. He did it as the Lord's order. Why didn't he go to Puri? Because the Lord instructed him, go to Vrindavan. He never saw the Lord again. And Rupa and Sanatan, they gave their hearts, their souls, their lives, their everything for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They met him at Ramakeli for just a few minutes. Sanatan met him in Varanasi for 2 months. Rupa Goswami for 10 days in Prayag. They both spent some time in Puri, and then the Lord sent them to Vrindavan. And they never saw him again physically. They served in separation. Yes. What Lord Chaitanya awarded Sachimata, Vishnupriya, Rupan Sanatan, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, all his devotees in South India, everyone, and even Nityananda Prabhu, Sarvabhauma, when he did his South India tour, he gave them all the most precious of all gifts, the highest ecstasy of love and separation. That's it. Because that is what he came to this world to personally taste and to share it with us. Srila Prabhupada, he told us an eternal truth. If you are chanting Hare Krishna and I am chanting Hare Krishna, we are always together. There's no power in creation that can separate our hearts, separate the communion of our eternal souls when we are united in loving devotional service to Krishna through chanting his holy names. I will end here, and we'll have nice talks by some of my god brothers and god sisters throughout the day, and kirtans, because it's a fast day, and really you don't have anything else to do. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he went with his devotees, he would talk about Krishna for 5 to 7 days. In Panihati, Lord Chaitanya had a kirtan for 2 months, nonstop. No eating, no sleeping, no drinking water. And it's not that it was forbidden. It's that the people were so absorbed in the kirtan, they didn't even think about such things. Even little children, 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old, not eating, not sleeping, not drinking for a month, just dancing and chanting. And do you think that they became weak? They were so ecstatic that these little children, they would go up to a tree, embrace it, and then uproot it and throw it. This is what we aspire for. To be nourished by the nectar of the holy names. This is what Srila Prabhupada came to give us. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, came to give us the full, complete, uncompromised mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's come to teach us how to very honestly and realistically access that mercy. By chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, sharing it with others. That's what Mahaprabhu taught everyone. And that's what Srila Prabhupada's giving us. How to enter into the mood of Sri Vrindavan Dham in a very honest and real way, through developing a real taste and real love through chanting of the holy names, by living with good character, and by developing a genuine divine service attitude. Then when we hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, it's not just a mental entertainment. It doesn't increase our ego that I'm better than you because I know more than you. It actually goes to the heart and awakens the love of the soul. This is the gift of Srila Prabhupada.
And on this day of Sri Gaur Purnima, we bow our heads in eternal gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for so mercifully bestowing upon us the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And on this day, we should very sincerely and honestly commit and recommit ourselves to accepting that mercy. Not just through empty words, but through the way we live our life, the way we treat each other, and the sincerity and determination in which we take shelter of the holy names. Now, we'll have a few minutes, kirtan, and we'll ask our God brothers and God sisters to speak. But there is a very special announcement. Something I've been waiting for years, and today it is manifested. Downstairs, in the room just next to the Matchless Gift Store, we are inaugurating today the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita Exposition. It's a display of the highlight events of Srila Prabhupada's life in the form of dioramas. And interestingly, these dioramas were made directly by the person that Srila Prabhupada selected to teach our devotees how to make dioramas. Bharadraj Prabhu told me, when I said the name Milan to him, he was amazed. When I told Adidev Milan, he was amazed. Milan, Milan. And they told me the story because the leaders of Mayapur, because Prabhupada wanted his devotees to learn how to make dioramas for Los Angeles and Detroit and different places. It was a very important part of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's presentation, his diorama exhibitions. So Prabhupada brought his most talented artistic devotees to Mayapur to learn the art. And the leaders were bringing different dioram makers from the Bengal, Navadweep, Krishna, Nagar, all these areas. And Prabhupada was going to select who was the one. And many were coming. And this one, he was a young person. And Rukmini Devi was there at that time. This incident, she was right there. We are sitting before history. And Prabhupada was interviewing him. And he had a little lump of clay. And as Prabhupada was talking to him, asking him his background and everything, he was just looking at Prabhupada and going like this. Just looking at Prabhupada. And by the end of the interview, which was only a few minutes, what he had in his hand, he put it on the table. And this person never saw Prabhupada before, but while they were talking, he carved Srila Prabhupada's face on this clay, and it looked just like Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "You're the one." And he had him teach the devotees. And it is Milan that had made most all these dioramas downstairs. And he also made very nice small dioramas of Prabhupada's life. So everyone, it's a very small room with only one door. So let there be kirtan and katha throughout the day. And two or three at a time, you could go downstairs and have nice darshan. Srila Prabhupada's. The idea of this is to give people a real appreciation of what Prabhupada has done for us and for the world. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taught the whole world the highest perfection through his own example and through the example of his most beloved intimate devotees like Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. We will end with one bhajan. Not end, we'll just the interim between speakers.